My name is Julia Battalese, and I hate country, but I do love me some good punk music. Those are two very different genres, and that's what Pass the Ox is all about. On this podcast, each episode features different people with different music tastes. They get to expose each other to a new genre and why they believe it's worth listening to. Because in this day and age, we need one fewer thing to be mad at each other about. This week on Pass the Ox, I'll be featuring grunge versus musicals. Due to copyright reasons, check out the links to these songs in the description that we will be playing in this podcast so you too can jam out with us. Feel free to pause and click away or play the music under us as you go. When you hear this track, and you'll know to click the link below. Welcome to this week's episode of Pass the Ox. This week we have grunge versus musicals, and I have JD Layton in here representing grunge.
Yeah.
And Haley Justino representing musicals.
Hi, it's me.
Well, I think we're starting off with you, Haley, if you want to give a preface to your first song.
Yes. So I picked a song from West Side Story, which I just learned came out 57 years ago. And I think that's really amazing. It was one of the first movie musicals I ever watched. And it's a very important musical to my family. We all used to watch it together. And this is my favorite song from the musical. I believe it closes the first act in a traditional stage show of it, but it's also just the funnest song in the show. And this song is about Puerto Rican immigrants coming to America and loving a lot of the new opportunities that they have, but also finding out that things aren't as great as they hoped it would be. So there's the female singers who are very optimistic and love America, and then there's the male singers who are a little more realistic. So that's where we're at in the show. That's where we're at in this show in my life. So let's listen to it, and JD will hate every second, but it's okay. I will love it. I'm so excited. I love musicals. Here we go. Let's do it. So, how you feeling?
You know, there's a feeling you get when, you know, like when you have to hold in like a really big fart, but you can't like let it go. It's like that type of uncomfortability. That's what I feel when I listen to musicals. And that's like
just
the entire
lot of pressure just in your
I'm
abdomen.
Like, and oh, like, this is so uncomfortable. Oh, why are they singing about just things they could talk about? Like, I feel like I'd have enjoyed it more if it had just been them, like, talking about, like, oh, yeah, America's lit, except for sometimes it's bad.
Sometimes there's racism.
Yeah, and I'd be like, oh, okay, this is cool. They're like, live in America.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely more of a older classic one. And the second song that I have picked out also is kind of an older one, which I think you will really not enjoy. And that's okay. Musicals aren't for everyone, and I know this. I grew up in a very, like, musical household. My sister went to an art school and is a theater major. I'm a performance major, so I know a lot about them. It's just, like, always around me. So I understand why people don't like it, but I really like them. And I'm excited to show you some more.
Oh,
because you're really going to hate the next one. I'm hoping that you like the last two that I picked, but we'll see.
My absolute favorite about this is that you're just like, I know you're going to hate this. And well, most people that come into the podcast, they'll be like, oh, I tried to pick something out that's more no, in your genre. And you're like, no.
I picked two that I knew you would absolutely despise. And then I picked two that I think are a more contemporary, like made within the last 20, 30 years. That one was almost 60 years old. So, you know, there's some generational gaps, but the last two are more contemporary. And I think you might enjoy at least more than the other two.
You know, I'll admit that there are three musicals I actually like.
Yes.
There is Monty Python's The Meaning of Life.
Okay.
The songs in that are absolutely hilarious.
Yes.
And they are so weird. And that whole movie is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I like Repo. The Genetic Opera.
Have not heard of that one.
It's very strange.
Okay.
And I like it because it's so strange.
Yeah.
And Sweeney Todd.
Okay, that's a really good one.
Sweeney Todd. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's cool. It's like,
yeah, no, all boys like Sweeney Todd. They're like, oh, yeah, this is the kind of stuff I can get behind.
Yeah, exactly.
Murder.
See, yeah, I'm like, what a relatable thing to sing about. Murder.
Yeah. every dude I've ever met who, like, doesn't like musicals, he's like, oh, but wait. The one I do
wait.
Is Sweeney Todd. And I'm like, yeah.
Cool.
That is a good one. We'll have one. The next song we'll listen to is kind of from the same genre and era, but you're not gonna like it. But let's listen to your song first.
So for my song, I have selected Vaseline by Stone Temple Pilots.
Okay.
And I think it's a really good song at encompassing, you know, like an introduction to grunge.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, you know, sort of this like raw, gritty sound and sort of trying to deal with this unpleasant world that you're kind of stuck in, and you're like pissed off about it, but you're not like so pissed off you're gonna like headbang. You're just like pretty pissed and you just want to be raw and dirty in your sound.
Okay.
This one's all about like sort of being stuck in life. There's a line, flies in the Vaseline we are, and
grim.
It's all just like being stuck
existential
in you know, certain phases, and sort of it's definitely got that dark, doomy, gloomy grunginess that
okay.
I love.
I'm excited. No, even though I really like musicals, I have a lot of experience in like harder rock music as well. So I'm excited. I haven't listened to a lot of Stone Temple Pilots. The only one I really know is the one that everyone,
and I feel that
so much depends on the weather. That one. But I like
where
it.
Where to go for tomorrow and I see.
Yeah, that one. The one that I always thought was Pearl Jam, but is not Pearl Jam, is actual Stone Temple Pilots. So
well,
let's go.
But I have a surprise for you, because this is going to be Vaseline.
All what right. just happened?
I don't know what that voice
so
was.
So many things just happened in the last, like, 30 seconds.
It'll be a good one. Let's listen to it. I haven't heard this song before.
Okay.
So, yeah, I like that song. That was cool. I've never heard it before, but I liked it.
I love it. It's like, it's that existential angst that like, I feel like it just encapsulates that like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know where I'm going. I'm a fly in the Vaseline. It's like, I'm too pissed off to be a fly in the Vaseline. I'm not going to be a fly in the Vaseline type of thing. But it's like, oh, but I am. I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
And I think the best part for me beyond the existential dread mm-hmm. associated with it is I love the distortion and the sort of weird sounds that they do. I mean, there's like a bongos playing.
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
It's there, I promise you. It's like the whole time it's like doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. It feels like very primal and like mm-hmm. the way you approach, and you just like get out of the Vaseline.
Okay, yeah, no, I liked it. I was thinking while we were listening, thinking about grunge music, and you brought up Stone Temple Pilots, you have Hole coming up, and I've heard of these artists, but I've never like really taken the time to explore their music, and I think it's because I was born mid-90s, so I was kind of like at the end of the grunge scene. I didn't get to live through it, and it was too immediate for it to be, you know, a trend that has come back in my lifetime. So far, the look came back a little bit, like
oh,
the
yeah.
90s like look came back a little bit, but the music so much hasn't come back in style, and so I've never really experienced too much of it, but I like it so far, so I'm excited to see where this continues to go.
Yeah, no, I definitely get that. It's like, I was trying to find a more contemporary grunge artist, but I was like, I don't think there are.
Yeah,
it's just like, it's hard to get that type of sound now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people just like don't want to do it because you'd be like, oh, you're too much like Nirvana. You sound like Nirvana. And I know that's like a big thing that people are like, oh, we want our own image. And especially since like Nirvana's left such a indelible impact on grunge as like a system. It's like really hard to get to that point. So I sort of tried to stick in the same vein of theme of the time frame of like grunge in its heyday,
mm-hmm.
that type of stuff.
Yeah, because I don't think there's been like a revival really. So this is like the only time really you can pick from.
I'm sure in like Seattle and Oregon and places like that, there's mm-hmm. definitely, I'm sure, an active scene, but mm-hmm. we live in Colorado.
Yeah.
There's
and it's
no
not
grunge
as
scene.
Yeah. Yeah. I like what we're hearing so far. And I'm excited to hear your other songs, even though you're not excited to hear mine, but that's okay.
It's not that I have anything against you as a person.
No, I know. I am aware.
It's just musicals make me feel like I'm gassy.
Yeah.
And being gassy is uncomfortable.
I agree.
God.
All right.
What do we have next?
So up next, we have a song from probably one of the most prolific musicals of all time. This is Les Miserables, Les Miserables.
Les
Miserables?
Yeah, I've said it so wrong so many times that I like don't know how to say it anymore. Just like joking, I say it wrong. And so, say it again.
Les Miserables.
There we go. Oh my God. I don't know why that's so hard.
I thought it was Les Miserables.
Yeah, right. I'm not even going to try. It's too early. But a song from that, which I love, I saw it first when I was like 12 years old. I saw like a local production of it. Saw the movie when it came out like Christmas Day a long time ago, 5+ years ago.
On Christmas.
Yeah. And I love this song. This is also the end of Act One. And it's everyone's getting ready for this battle. And we just hear all the different like wants and goals and dreams and desires of all these characters that we've gotten to know, and they all cross over and there's layering and it's really, really cool, and I'm excited to play it. I'm gonna sing every single character's line while we're here and you're gonna hate it, so let's go.
That was good. Me and you. Yeah. I don't even know the song, but we matched pitch on that last note.
Good job. Hell yeah.
I don't think we were on pitch.
No, that's fine. I haven't been on pitch all morning, which is disappointing, but that's fine. So how you doing? I know that was bad for you. You were curled up on the floor.
Yeah, just a quick recap. JD definitely got out of his chair and disappeared under the desk.
In the fetal position, just like waiting for the sweet release of death.
If we ever go on a road trip and you play this, I will purposely crash the car.
Okay. Well, we won't have you drive at that point. Yeah, I knew you weren't going to like that one. And that's honestly the most like musical theater one we're going to have. Everything else is a little less.
It's like getting slapped in the face by just
everyone.
Everyone all the time. Like you just sit down and the entire cast is just...
just like rotating. Yeah. No, I can see how that one would not be everyone's cup of tea. There's a lot of different vocal lines and everyone's singing something different. And so personally, I like that when a bunch of different characters are singing their own motivations, because it's a cool way to make sure that you're just getting input from all your characters. And if you're doing it correctly, I think it sounds really cool. But yeah, there's definitely a lot going on there. And it's an opera, so it's all very operatic singing as well, which I know also isn't everyone's cup of tea. So thank you for sitting through that. I had a good time.
He was lying through it.
Yeah, thanks for lying through
it. I'm pretty sure my ears are bleeding a little bit.
Yeah,
but...
it gets high. It gets high-pitched for sure.
Oh, that was rough.
Yeah, well, that was the worst one you'll have to get through. So everything else after this should be smooth sailing. So we can cleanse your ear palate and move on to your song now.
The worst is over.
Yeah, the worst is over. You've crested the mountain, and now it's just a downward journey, an easy downhill.
I feel broken.
I know. I'm sorry. I did that intentionally though. All right, let's go. Come on. You can muster it.
All right. Up next we have Doll Parts by Hole, and I wanted to get some good female vocal grunge, and I wanted to sort of be like, well, because there's more, and mm-hmm. like when you usually think about it, you're like, oh yeah, it's a dude, but there's definitely like a big female led scene, and I know that is actually one thing that has persisted. I know that there's been, you know, after that sort of tapered off, like there was definitely like a big female stylized version of it that came out for a while after sort of the fall of grunge, the grunge empire. After it fell, they lingered.
Women.
Yeah, women.
Just the women.
But this one's all about sort of being uncomfortable with yourself and who you are, and sort of using this like raw stylized sound to get that out. The song called Doll Parts is like, it's like, I am doll parts, I am doll hair, I am doll arms, things like that, where you're just like, you're not cool with yourself, and then trying to like fit the image of other people is something that is unrealistic and makes you feel fake and not real. And the way it's sort of presented is very like raw and dirty. I say raw a lot, but I feel like raw really encapsulates the sort of feel you look for with grunge.
All right, awesome. I also haven't heard this song, so let's do it. Musical
like
adventures.
It.
I'm ready. Hell yeah. I like that one a lot.
I love that song, and I
I think it's another good showcase of what grunge is. And I think because it has like all those type of elements that you really like in, or I really like in a grunge song. It's got sad as all holy hell. You're just like, I feel that, man. Oh. Yeah. Two, it's got like a slow start with heavy reverb, which is like nice because it's very existential and ethereal in the way you approach it. And then it's got this build up to this like, one day you will ache like I ache, like over and over and over. Like the pain itself isn't just something that's been going away. It's just there and it's always there. And it's like having a blister and you keep wearing at it. You keep wearing at it. And it just sort of hurts and hurts and hurts. And it's like, one day you'll know when you live life, you will ache like I ache.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really liked the, and what I've been noticing in grunge music, the just the simplicity of the lyrics. They're like, oh, we have this one really great line and we're just going to go with it. We're just going to do this over and over and just get every last emotional possibility out of this one lyric. And I think that's really cool. We had the album by Petal. I don't know if you listen to Petal. We had them in the CD in the studio, and I just grabbed it for myself. But there's that one song, and the lyric that they repeat over and over again is, like, I don't even know where you're at, and I can't remember the last time I held you. And they just repeat that over and over and over again. It's like the lyrics are maybe, like, one short verse, and then that chorus, and then another short verse, and then that chorus just over and over again. So yeah, I can definitely see where Courtney Love's and Hole's influence translates into today. And I think maybe the reason why there's more, you were saying earlier, there's kind of more like female rock bands that came out of grunge more so than male rock bands. I think Nirvana's presence, like we were talking about earlier, was just so big and so encapsulating that no one wanted to go up against it.
Oh yeah.
But for the females, unfortunately, I don't think anyone took Courtney Love as seriously as they did Nirvana.
You're probably right, yeah. But I think it's definitely not right to sort of underplay that influence on the genre, because like you can see how this is shaped across the board,
yeah.
And I like it. I think it's like one of, I think, the penultimate grunge songs.
Yeah, no, I liked that one a lot.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. You can hear the like aching.
Yeah, yeah, it's like you can feel the heartache with it, and it's like sort of talking about like I can't fit these like standards. I'm like this fake doll person, and it's like you love somebody so much you hate them, and then they as like they're just sort of destroying your life too. So it's like sort of touching on all these like different things where you're just discontent with where you are, and you're unhappy with like your relationships and yourself. That's something that like I can identify with at times. Because it's like, I've felt that way before. I've hurt like that, and I understand how it seems like it's almost all-consuming.
Yeah, agreed. I liked that song a lot. I'm going to have to listen to more of Hole. Because again, I haven't listened to a lot of their music before. So that put that on the list of things to do when I have free time. Well, my next song, not as awful as the last one, apparently. And your
fingers crossed.
Yeah, and your girlfriend likes this
she does
musical.
Love this.
We're going to be listening to a song from Rent. Rent is one of the great like modern musicals, kind of started the musical revival in the 90s and kind of brought it to where it is today, kind of more gritty, more realistic, less gaudy showbiz musicals and more just like slice of life musicals. And this one was really praised for its portrayal of AIDS and HIV and the gay community, the LGBT community back in the 80s. And this song that we're going to listen to, it takes place at a HIV AIDS support group. And it's kind of interesting because it's just two lines just repeated over and over again. So kind of funny how that works out, but it's just two lines of the song and everyone just repeats it and goes in a round and it builds. And I think it's really beautiful. And also portrays that aching and that fear and that hurt of, you know, living with a disease and not knowing what the future is, and just that uncertainty and that hopelessness and that reaching out for something, but not necessarily getting anything back. So that's what this song is. It's called Will I, and it's really beautiful. And when I was young and heard this song for the first time, I was young, so I didn't understand really the context of the musical, but I knew that this song was powerful in a way. So we're going to listen to it, and it's great. It was hard to choose from Rent because I love Rent so much, but sorry, I'll stop now. Okay, go. So yeah, that was my other one.
That was not as bad. I think it's the gaudiness of musicals that I don't like.
Yeah.
And this one was a bit more palatable, I suppose.
I understand that. And I understand why the spectacle, like, sometimes turns people away, especially if you like simplistic grunge music that electric guitars, bass, drums, like, that's it. I can understand how so many voices and the whole orchestra, like, sometimes it's a lot. But, and I was thinking while we were listening to it, it kind of takes what was happening in the One Day More, Les Miserables. I'm never going to be able to pronounce it right.
Les Miserables.
Les Miserables.
I just want to make a
it's like, bothering me.
I just want to make like one audio file of just you trying to say Les Miserables.
Les Miserables.
Just say Les Mis.
Les Mis. There we go. Yeah, there you go. It takes what was happening in the Les Mis song, the layering and the rounds and everyone singing on top of each other, but then simplifies it to have everyone just singing the same thing instead of everyone singing their own just random thoughts. It's just this one phrase over and over again, just really emphasizing the fear and just the existential, like, I'm probably going to die and I'm going to be alone kind of thing.
Ooh.
Yeah. So that scene and that song and this musical in general, like, really does deal with death and just being lost in the world. And I think you can relate to that with your music as well. So there's some crossover. Everything is connected. The human experience.
Connected.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on that one?
So I had one thought on, like, what it reminded me of, and it's probably going to surprise you, but, like, my mother loves her Christian rock more than anything else on the entire face of the earth.
That's good.
She loves that, and it's very similar sounding to that.
I could agree with that. Of what I've heard of Christian rock, which I haven't heard too much, but in my experiences with it, yeah, I can understand that.
It's just like, this sounds exactly like the same song my mom plays in the car every single time I'm in, and it kills me, but...
Yeah, and I guess that makes sense, like... Rent is a rock opera, and it was one of the first of its kind where just everyone sings everything, but there's more guitars, there's more electric instruments than in typical musicals. And yeah, that song in particular, it's very much like a call to some higher power, like, will someone care about me if I die? Will someone care about me if I suffer and am alone? Like, is anyone out there caring about me? So I can understand, like, those parallels. So yeah, like that one a lot. But next song.
So my next song is Everybody Thought They Could Get Away from Pearl Jam and good old Eddie Vedder. I love this song. I think I've definitely realized I picked a lot of slower grunge music.
That's okay.
But I think that's usually the type of stuff that I like, and I think it fits it a little better. And this might be sort of on the more fringe style of that category, but this is Daughter by Pearl Jam, and I think this is a great song. It's like, as far as I understand it, it's like a father's struggle to, like, retain connection with his daughter as she's, like, leaving and pushing away from him and things like that, and that type of like hurt that comes from it. I think it's beautiful in a certain sense. It's like a parental style grunge.
Okay. Cool. I like that one a lot. Again, Pearl Jam is a band that I've heard like one or two main songs from and then like haven't done any research into. So
I think Pearl Jam is like a worthwhile band to look into if you're curious about grunge more, especially since those guys are so weird. So fun fact about Pearl Jam is they used to not release studio albums. You could only get their albums if you went to their concerts.
Huh.
And they were all live.
That's
so
cool.
Because they didn't want to be too, like, mainstream, and they didn't want to lose their sort of raw sound and like, grunginess. And I think a big part of where that, like, stylized comes from is Eddie Vedder himself. He sort of showcases the, like, the dirty, unfiltered voice. Like, that's, I think, where the grunginess sort of seeps in.
Really? I don't know. When I was listening to that song, I don't know, it seems a lot more upbeat. I wouldn't even classify that song as, like, grunge. I just consider that, like, a rock song because it was really happy, or at least it sounded happy. So you were saying it's kind of, like, on the fringes of grunge
because yeah.
It doesn't really sound like grunge as I know grunge. Grunge for me is what we've been listening to before with, like, lots of distortion and, like, kind of slower, and that one was a little more upbeat, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I was like, it's there, but I think it's good, and I wanted to showcase sort of the way Eddie Vedder approaches his vocals, because they're sort of like, he's not a great singer. It's kind of like, yeah, exactly, and I think, so rather than using like traditional distortion methods and things like that. That's where it sort of peaks in. And you can even see in the stylized elements and the way that the song sort of comes together. It's very slow, kind of weird lyrics, and then you get the repetition of, like, "Don't call me daughter."
Mm, yeah, they are doing that.
And then it gets this, like, big release of angst, and in the song is, like, it's there, and it sort of fits the same type of theme that we've seen in the previous songs.
Gotcha. Yeah, I like that one a lot. Okay, last one, I guess, unless you had anything more to say about
Pearl Jam. No, I think that's what I had to say. Okay. I just really like that song. I think it might be one of my favorites of all time.
Yay.
Also, we're at 27 minutes, so we could probably do one more.
Yeah!
Yay! Okay, well, let's get through my next song, so this is the song that I picked where I was trying to get something that overlapped as much as I could between our two genres, trying to find something that was as close to the middle of this very separate...
Is it a grungicle?
A grungicle? No, what? Oh, Venn diagram. Even though our circles aren't, like, connected at all, there's this tiny little sliver. It's not even connected. The lines are just, like, connected. But on that connecting point is this song, or at least this musical. I could have picked a lot from this musical, but this is my my favorite one. So this is the American Idiot musical, which a lot of people don't know about. It is a jukebox musical that uses Green Day's songs, mostly from American Idiot, the album, which is one of my favorite albums of all time, but also from some of their later stuff. Which one's 21 Guns off of?
Isn't it 21 Guns?
Is it? I wasn't sure.
So
off of 21. Yeah, not my favorite song, but they actually do a good job of redoing it in this show. And a lot of people don't like this musical. A lot of musical people don't like this one because it's harder rocking. And a lot of Green Day fans don't like this musical because it's just another way that they've sold out, whatever. But I think a lot of these songs translate really well. And this one's my favorite. It's towards the end. It's where the love interest, what's her name, is telling off this guy because he's just being stupid. And really, it's just so relatable to my life. And I love, she just like decimates him, and it's great. And we're gonna listen to it. This is Letter Bomb from American Idiot, and we'll see how you like it. Okay, so thoughts on that one? No, not your favorite. I know, that's okay. What are the thoughts behind
it? Was like, you took all the fun stuff from Green Day and just removed it.
I know, that's what people say.
And filled its innards with, like, these, like, weird musical undertones, like the layering of voices and stuff.
Okay. Okay, that's fair. I understand. I understand. I really like that one.
I enjoyed it.
I could tell you two were going at it, and I was like, yeah.
It's just, it's a really good song, especially how they do it in the show, where she's just like telling this dude, she's like, "You idiot, you're not a cool dude, you're not the Jesus of suburbia, you're just a guy, and man up or I'm gonna leave you." And then she does, and I'm like, yeah. Incredible. So I really like that song, but I know why people don't like it, and it's okay.
Frankenstein.
It's an abomination.
It's a monster.
We're not supposed to play God like this. right now, yeah, it's definitely something, two sounds that should not go together, like grunge and like musicals. But I mean, Green Day's kind of more punk, and musicals typically don't mesh. I think it meshes really well, and I like the stuff that they do in the musical. They still keep some of the original stuff, but they do add some musical elements to that. And if you don't like the musical elements, you're probably not going to like it. And that's fine.
But yeah, you're gonna get mad at me for this.
Do it.
But it was like, it just reminded me, since I obviously can't see the musical because I'm just listening to the music. And it just sounded like somebody's cover of Green Day music with their friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh man, what type of dark recess of YouTube am I in now?
That's fair. Yeah, I definitely think seeing it live also has a lot to do with it. But these are all songs that I've seen the movie, or I've seen it live. So it has a lot of emotional and just like visual nostalgic memory impact on me. So yeah, there's definitely something to that as well. So thanks for sitting through it. We might have one more, and I don't know which one I'm going to pick if we do one more. But we'll get to your last song.
I know what one I'm going to pick.
Yeah.
And I know what one I'm going to play next.
What is it?
It's All Apologies by Nirvana, except for this is the MTV Unplugged version. And if you're unfamiliar with what that means, so back when sort of grunge was coming into its own and everybody was like, oh, yeah, grunge is only good because they distort, you know, every aspect of the music and it just sounds like they make it sound bad so they could be gritty and edgy and things like that. Well, they decided to do an MTV Unplugged, which I'm not sure if this is the first one or anything like that, but basically they go in and they play like an almost all acoustic versions of their songs. Kurt Cobain is sitting up there, he's like smoking a cigarette while he's playing, and it's still just as like raw and edgy and dirty and all super grungy in itself. And it sort of showcased that grunge wasn't just you had to be like super technical with it or anything like that, is you could sort of showcase it in other ways and really sort of push the way we thought about playing music. And it was one of those things. I remember my dad was telling me about it when he was in college, is when this it came out. And, you know, he wasn't watching MTV at the time. And he got this call from his buddy who told him to come over. And he pulled out a VHS when he went over to his buddy's house of the recorded MTV Unplugged. So it's a bootleg copy of MTV Unplugged, and he listened to that on his like dirty ratty couch and apparently blew my dad's mind.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen a lot of these MTV sessions from the grunge days, but I know that these are like just iconic life-changing to the music landscape at the time. So
I would really recommend it because they're like spiritual in the way they come about, and you're like, whoa, yeah, it's Kurt Cobain.
And also just, I keep saying this, but also a band, Nirvana, that I've heard about, obviously, and have heard their main songs, but I actually don't think I've heard this one. So let's do it.
That was Kurt Cobain, and Kurt Cobain doing Kurt Cobain what Kurt Cobain does.
What a guy. So yeah, I'm an idiot. Obviously, I've heard that song before. I just didn't know what it was called because my grunge knowledge is surprisingly so shallow. So thank you for educating me a little bit today, JD. I've really liked my experiences so far.
Yeah, so since you've heard the original, it is All Apologies for those who don't know. And I played the MTV Unplugged version because I wanted it to be less the, oh yeah, I know this, but it's more like the, oh yeah, this is still grunge, and it's still like the song that I know, but it's in a much different way than I've sort of typically thought. So, sort of, what did you think between the two?
You know, I actually am thinking about my times hearing that song. I think I've heard the live version more actually than I've heard the original one. I think someone I used to work with when I worked in food service would play that song a lot, the live version. So I'm more familiar with that one. But I like acoustic music. I don't know, that voice that they all have. They all have like this similar quality where they're just like, oh no.
It's the grunge voice. It's this dirty cigarette filtered.
Yeah.
I'm upset with the world and I want everybody to know that I like hurt as I sing.
Yeah.
Type of thing, because it's like a low, it's like a growling mm-hmm. as you get through. No. Like STP is super bad about it. And like, black flies messing with y'all sometimes blows my mind.
But yeah, that voice seems to be very much a hallmark of the genre. Simpler guitar lines, which translates, I think, well both on electric guitars and acoustic guitars. So that's maybe why the MTV sessions were both so popular and so successful, just because the music, even though it is simple, like is able to cross lots of different mediums.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that was one of the points I was going to bring up with this song, is the chord progression. Like you can really hear it in this because there isn't a lot of distortion to sort of filter between the way it goes, but you can really tell that it's simple. It's, you know, two or three chords through the whole song at the same pace, the same way, and it's very simple. And
yeah.
And like I think that's another thing. It's like grunge is a simple, dirty song style.
Yeah, and in punk music, when they use just like the same chords over and over again, it really bugs me. I don't like a lot of early like Ramones punk music just because power chords for days and it gets very boring. But somehow with these, I think it's more, they don't rely so much on chords, but there's more just like this repeating like line or a repeating riff that they use, especially in that last song. Like the whole song basically is just the same riff till the chorus, I think. So I like that better than just power chords forever and ever and ever.
Oh, yeah. So. I think it makes it more enjoyable to listen to because it is not super diverse, but you get, you know, some extra sounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that one a lot.
What do we have up next?
So this is a song that JD will hate. It's kind of more, I think you're going to hate it similar to the one, the West Side Story one. Not as much, hopefully, as the Les Mis one, but it's, again, I guess that's a hallmark of musicals is just like a lot of layering and a lot of people doing stuff at the same time. But this is from Hamilton, and I chose this song and this musical just because it's one of the most recent and most, you know, successful musicals of the last 5 years. This musical really changed the musical landscape in terms of introducing rap to the genre.
There's rap in this musical?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So Lin-Manuel Miranda, the writer of this musical, his first show, which was called In the Heights, which is another one of my favorite musicals, also has a lot of rapping in it, wasn't as successful as Hamilton, but he kept that style. And so in Hamilton, it's just a very interesting mix of ideas, because first you have the story about Alexander Hamilton, which in my mind, I was like, why would you make a musical about like some politic guy? Was he a president? Was Alexander Hamilton?
No,
he was almost a president, kind of. He was like,
I don't know what he did, but yeah. I know that he was not president.
I actually haven't seen.
I'm pretty sure he was a president.
Was he?
Was he a treasurer?
He was.
You know history.
I should know this off the top of my head, but I don't. I know he was treasurer, I believe.
Yeah.
I think that is correct.
Thank you.
God, this is bad. I have a history minor.
Yeah.
I should know these things.
And I should know because I've listened to the soundtrack a decent amount, but I haven't seen the show because tickets are just. That's never going to happen.
Why is there rapping in this? It's about Alexander
Hamilton. I know.
Hamilton.
That's the thing. That's the thing.
Let's just get into it.
That's the thing. It's a very interesting mix of ideas and themes. So there's Alexander Hamilton, the U.S. government, rapping, people of color, talk about immigration, kind of all these things. And I think that's why it was so successful, just because it has something for everyone. But let's listen to it. You're going to hate it, but I'm excited. On a scale from 1 to 10, how much did you not like that?
I actually quite enjoyed that.
Yay!
I'm not going to lie. I think that might have been my favorite song out of all of these. And it's probably because I wasn't thinking of it as a musical. I was thinking of it as like a historical rap. And I was like, wow, this is very interesting.
Yeah.
The scene, the part about Ben Franklin, I was like, oh, wow, that's pretty funny. I like that.
You laughed at that. I was like, nice, solid Ben Franklin joke for the history majors out there.
I was like,
hot take.
Oh, yeah, this is good. I could enjoy this. I could probably go see
this.
Hamilton and not be miserable.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I mean,
I would probably enjoy it, actually.
Yeah, so that song takes place. Alexander Hamilton, in real life, marries Elizabeth Schuyler. And there's been a little bit of speculation whether Hamilton and Eliza's sister, Angelica, ever had a thing. But this musical, like, paints it as Angelica was in love with him the whole time, but she lets her sister marry him and blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of, in this musical, there's a big theme about how your story is told, how you tell your story, how others tell your story, how others see you. So this is a really cool moment because a couple songs before we get the love story from Eliza's perspective and she doesn't know all of this is going on with her sister. She's just like in love with Hamilton and it's all very happy. It's like, yay, we're in love. And then you have this song a while later at the wedding where it's revealed that Angelica has all these feelings for him and it's all very messy, but we didn't know that beforehand. So it's just a very interesting storytelling device and I like that musical and the song and I like rapping all of it.
It was like an R. Kelly history session.
Yeah, so that's what the people like nowadays, I guess. This musical won so many awards. It's still really popular on Broadway. The tickets are ridiculously expensive. So it's really cool to see musical theater and Broadway still doing all right in today's modern day because I love musicals. Okay, last song from you.
So we are going to listen to Water's Edge, which I think is it's a lesser known grunge song, if I had to guess, by 7 Mary 3.
Yeah, I haven't heard of this band like at all the other bands I've heard of, but not this one.
Yeah, I wanted to try and find something that was a little less known, but it's definitely pretty grungy and it's got a little bit more slappiness to it.
Okay. Slappiness in the bass or the drums? Yeah, or just
general? More, it's just more like, it's got more energy than the previous songs I've sort of selected. It fits similar in tune with Vaseline. It's got like that type of energy.
All right. I'm excited. Let's do it. Yeah, I like that one.
It was good. It had a lot more energy.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a lot more going on in that one. Just like those little sounds every now and again, like an extra like hit on the cymbals or an extra little like strummy bit. No, I like that one a lot.
It paints some good mental imagery too. I was torn between this one and Possum Kingdom by the Toadies. Because they're both really similar songs about fighting bodies of the water. But they're both
a common theme.
Yeah, apparently, it's a grunge theme, if I had to say so myself. But I think that's my favorite part of the song is the mental imagery. Plus, like, the shift in tone from, like, when you get to the water's edge. You get these big crescendos in the song. So it's almost like the rest of the song sort of had that one big blowout. But this one has three as the song progresses. Mm-hmm. I actually really like that.
Yeah, a little more dynamic.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's one of the more dynamic tracks that I've showcased within this little bit.
Cool. Thank you for showing me all this music. This is stuff I don't usually seek out for myself, and I'm sorry for what I put you through. I know you also don't seek musicals out for yourself, and you never have to again.
I'm sure there will be more than several times in my life where I will have to grit and bare my teeth through more of them, but I appreciate you sharecasing your love with me of musicals, because yes. I enjoyed that. Not so much the music, but your appreciation of them.
Yes, I do very passionately sing and act along to all of them, so I hope that was at least amusing to the people in this room right now.
All right, Julia, who won this? What music is better?
It's not a competition.
I think, honestly, I think your music wins just because it's more accessible.
It's not a competition.
I know, because all music is subjective and everyone can like what they like, but...
How many mics out of five do each of us get?
How many mics?
How many aux chords?
How many aux chords do we get?
That's not how this works.
Well, we've changed the show now, so you have to declare a winner.
I'm not declaring a winner.
Okay, that's fine. I still think I'll declare you as a winner just because I think it's more accessible to the general population.
I don't know. I feel like if the goal was to make somebody miserable, I think you won. I might declare you the winner in this case.
Because really, that's the true goal of grunge, so I was able to...
It's true. Yeah, you really put me in the mindset where it's like, I need to listen to this to get this angst out.
All right. Well, thank you.
You just completely changed the purpose of this podcast, and that's fine. But you're like, who won? And I'm like, no one. That's not the point of the podcast.
I made
life's a championship.
I made JD the most depressed, and really, that's the goal.
That's the goal, I guess.
Yeah. So congratulations to you and to me and to musicals.
I'll put on my sad crown of thorns, yeah. And you'll walk away with five gold aux chords.
Like, just think, you know now that you can make it through all that. You made it through five musical theater song, so really you can get through anything.
In all fairness though, the last one wasn't much of a struggle. I actually enjoyed that.
Oh yeah, I'm so glad. I thought that was gonna be the one you hate the most just because it's such a random, like, really, I think he was thinking.
I liked it.
Fair enough. Okay.
Super weird though. Yeah. Now I'm like imagining like Alexander Hamilton is just a super swaggy dude in the 1700s.
Yeah,
like everybody
else, that's how they portray it, honestly.
Prim and proper. I was gonna say a word that I can't say.
You can say it'll sound
right. A fuck boy. Everybody's a prim and proper fuck boy in the 1700s. And Alexander Hamilton has his sunglasses on at all times.
He doesn't have any sunglasses on, but he's pretty swaggy.
He's a cool guy. I've said it three times now. You've got your work cut out for you now.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on Past the Ox this week, JD and Haley.
Stay tuned for next week.
Cue the outro. This has been an episode of Pass the Ox. Special thanks to Danny Steiner for providing original music for the intro and outro for Pass the Ox. And special thanks to my guests this week, JD Layton and Haley Justino. I'm Julia Battalese. Make sure to check out other episodes of Pass the Ox on KCSUFM.com.